We spoke with Professor Ian Robson, who is the director of the Astronomy Technology Centre in Edinburgh.
Okay, so this is Nick Rattenbury here. Just curious, what has brought you to the IAU for this year?
Okay, well, there's two reasons. One, interest in some of the science sessions, but the primary interest is that I'm one of the co-chairs of a working group which is communicating astronomy with the public, which makes a lot of sense for you to talk to me anyway.
Yeah, it's brilliant that we're able to talk to you, because this is exactly what we're all about with the Jodcast.
Exactly. And so we're now looking for two things. One, we had a business meeting and organising ourselves as to how we move forward. And you might have seen our webpage, which is www.communicatingastronomy.org, where we have all the interesting information. And secondly, we're now looking forward to how we can focus on the year 2009, which will be the International Year of Astronomy, where we're going to have a really global celebration of astronomical events. And so this is the sort of launch date for that. And so we were working through project plans as to how we can move forward and what will be in it.
So was it decided at this General Assembly that 2009 was going to be the International Year of Astronomy?
Yes, that's exactly right. This has just been tick the box and move forward. And so we've now decided we are going to go ahead. We hope to get UN approval. UNESCO have already recommended 2009 be the Year of Astronomy. And we hope to get UN approval in the autumn. But if we don't get UN approval this autumn, we'll just resubmit the next autumn. But we're going to go ahead with 2009 anyway. It's also the 400th celebration of Galileo's first observations through the telescope.
Right, this sort of celebration is quite important, isn't it? Because 2005 was the year of relativity, I think it was.
Yes, it was the International Year of Physics, or Einstein Year, as it was called in the UK. And I've been talking with many of the people involved in that to try and find out, okay, what lessons did you learn about how to run it? What do we have to do? When do we have to start? What could we do better? And things like that. So that's one of the things that we've been discussing this week.
It sounds very exciting. So what sort of things do you have in mind for this year? What sort of activities or programs or outreach objectives do you have for this year, 2009?
Well, that hasn't been decided yet. We're just about to start on that now. And in fact, I think between February and June next year, we'll really have more themes. The whole point of this will be it will be really based on national events. So 90% of the work will occur in the various countries. And within the UK, the Royal Astronomical Society will be the coordinating body for that. But the IAU will look at some global events, perhaps one, two, or three during the year, which might be, for example, looking at the moons of Jupiter through small telescopes all the way across the globe on one particular day, or seeing how many stars they can see in Orion's Belt, or things like that. Simple things, but which many people across the entire world, not just the well-developed Northern Hemisphere and our countries, can participate in. So that's one of the things we have to think very carefully about. What events can all countries really try and participate in to bring this global theme to everything? We're just starting at the very first phase now, but we'll have meetings in February and June of next year, where we'll really get a really good handle on what it is we can and can't support. And there'll be about three of these global events during the year. And there's also, for example, the longest total solar eclipse this century, happening, I think it's in late July, but it's only in China, so it doesn't really help those of us in the UK.
That sounds fantastic. So what's planned for the solar eclipse? Perhaps you're going to have budget trips to China. I'm sure that'll please the Chinese tourism authorities.
That's one of the things clearly we all want to look at in terms of, okay, how can we all maximise this? So the next International Astronomical Union also happens in the middle of that year, in August, in Buenos Aires and in Brazil. So that's something that we're all looking towards as well. So this essentially is a launch event. So in fact, as you rang, we were sitting trying to organise some of the launch events and think about themes and where we should have them, and just in fact as you rang on the telephone.
Oh, right. Well, we apologise for disturbing the meeting.
No, it's okay. So, you know, it's all happening as you speak, so that's one of the things that does happen in these meetings, that you know, you tick the box and you move on and start planning, and so we've been using this afternoon to start the planning phase.
Sounds very exciting. So, are you predominantly involved in the education side of things at the General Assembly, or are you involved in science as well?
No, in fact, I'm the director of the UKATC at the Royal Observatory Edinburgh. And so my speciality is active galaxies and really sub-millimeter dust sources at high redshift. But I've been in education, essentially, before I became director of the telescopes. And so I have an interest in outreach, and I just I just happen to be one of the co-chairs of this working group on communicating astronomy. So that's the second reason why I'm at the IAU. But at the moment, this particular week, that's been taking all the focus.
So will you be going to any sessions on your particular research area?
Yes, well, I was in yesterday afternoon and the morning and this afternoon. I was snatching parts of the universe at redshift greater than 6.
So just for our listeners, redshift 6, can you say when roughly that is?
Yes, less than the first billion years of the universe. So it's really pretty early on. And these were the very first galaxies forming in the entire universe. So I was in and out of various sessions on there, so I've attended those. And the universe through the Hubble time, the symposium that began last Monday, I managed to get to a day and a half of that. So I've been enjoying science and the outreach aspects as well. And next week we have the different sessions on black holes, and I'll be interested in the supermassive black hole ones rather than the low-mass black holes. And then we have a whole day on Antarctic astronomy, which is going to be very interesting in terms of what Antarctica can offer astronomy.
That is exciting. Just on the Antarctic astronomy side of things, we're actually going to have Michael Burton come and visit us here at Jodrell Bank later this year to give a seminar, and it's an exciting place to do astronomy, I think.
Well, it certainly is, and of course the UK does some things already. The Cardiff Group essentially have their CMB pole experiment down there, and certainly seeing the photographs of how you get in and what it's like there is, truly exciting place to go.
So what's new in the field of active galactic nuclei? Can you is there anything new and exciting happening that's come out at this assembly?
Not a huge pile in terms of that, although one of the interesting things does seem to be that certainly in the high redshift universe, the early galaxies, the predominant number of early galaxies, which are dwarf galaxies, do not seem to be AGN superpowered. In all the galaxies between redshift 6 and sort of 7, they do see the very small numbers seem to have AGNs in them, so a supermassive black hole and the fueling of them seems to happen at a later epoch than epoch redshift of 6. So that's one of the interesting things. In the very, very early universe, these supermassive black holes don't really seem to have either grown or they're not accreting mass, and my suspicion is they just haven't grown. There's not been enough mergers compared with the number that you see at redshift 4, 3, and 2. That's, I think, the main result that's come out, which has been confirmed, I think, this week in the symposium. Of course, one of the interesting things going on this week is the definition of planets. I mean, I've just come out of a meeting this afternoon, which was an interesting meeting on do we go forward with this definition, which has been in all the news, or do we change it? And, I mean, I sense the mood of that meeting was that... there was not, from the community, there was nothing like a large degree of support for the definition which has been put out in the press release.
Is that right? Because we've had a big discussion about this resolution 5, just amongst professional astronomers here, a very limited sample, of course, but it still seemed that it was viewed with rather low regard, this redefinition of planets and what have you. So this seems to be true in a general sense, does it, that people aren't particularly thrilled about the idea?
Yes, I mean, I've just come from the planetary division meeting, which really the specialists who are discussing this, and I would say as an observer that there really was not a strong degree of support at all. And now they're looking at an alternative resolution in terms of defining planets, just so we can figure out, you know, where Pluto lies or where Pluto doesn't lie. I mean, that's what it all really hangs on.
Well, we won't keep you from your important discussions about astronomy year any longer, so we'll let you get back to that.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Okay, well done, and all the best with your podcast, etc.